I think every team realistically would be speaking about. I've always said that unless I felt drunk over in All-Ireland, I wouldn't play because the sacrifices are just too high.
OTB AM live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
I'm delighted to say Mayo legend Cor Staunton is with us to give us some sense of what the post-mortem has been like. Cora, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good now, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, we're okay. What has the post-mortem been like in Mayo? What do you all think happened?
Well, I suppose it's probably a bit early days to dissect it. I suppose over the next few days, reading the local papers here will probably tell a little bit more. But I suppose, yeah, from talking to Mayo supporters and obviously genuine Mayo fans coming out of Croke Park the last day and even on the road down on Sunday afternoon, I suppose there's a lot of disappointment. I suppose this was in All-Ireland that we felt that, we could have won. Obviously, going in beforehand, we were probably slight favourites. And, obviously with the big two, or the so-called big two in Dublin and Kerry, gone, that this was a huge opportunity, and I suppose that's probably the biggest thing, that there's a disappointment or a huge opportunity lost. I suppose in the last few All-Irelands that we went in against the Dubs, obviously the Dubs were favourites, because they were obviously last year six in a row and previous years they'd won the All-Ireland. So I suppose this Tyrone team were a little bit different. They were probably unexpectedly got to the final a bit like ourselves, so I suppose it was a huge opportunity. And the biggest thing is that, we just didn't perform on the day. If you look back to other All-Ireland finals, we were unluckier, own goals, miss frees, whatever it was. We really, put in a massive shift and put in a massive performance. But I just don't think that was there on Saturday evening. Probably three or four players, only played to the level they can, if even that. Lee Keegan and Stephen Cohen, probably two in particular, that had a very good performance. But after that, a lot of the other performances were below par, whether that was to do with the Tyrone performance themselves, or just I'm not sure, the Mayo game plan or the Mayo system, just never got going. And I suppose that's probably the most disappointing thing.
I'm sure we'll get to that in just a moment, but is one of the reasons just the massive layoff, and how Mayo are a team and have always been a team over the last 5 to 10 years that love to play games on the regular? Like 2016 and 2017, arguably their greatest performances in a final came after a run through the back door. They weren't Connacht champions that year, and they managed to put together a run and almost beat the greatest team of all time. Having 4 weeks off this year into an All-Ireland final probably didn't suit them.
Yeah, so there was obviously, that was a case and an argument beforehand, obviously with Tyrone with the 2 week layoff and the momentum going in from that game. And then obviously Mayo with the 4 week layoff. I suppose only James Horan and them will know. Obviously before the game, he spoke about, the need probably for certainly the third week with injuries, obviously to Oisin Mullen. And obviously there was talk about Owen McLaughlin, getting back. I don't think that was ever going to be the case. But I suppose the performance against Dublin and who we'd beaten, and the nature of it, and to come down off that high, they probably needed the third week. But yeah, I think certainly the fourth week didn't help Mayo. And you can obviously see Tyrone had the momentum going in. But that said, I thought Mayo actually started quite well in the All-Ireland. We were 2 points to nothing up, so it wasn't like that we had a slow start and we're trying to crawl the game to get the game back. I just don't think we never had the momentum shift with us. I think obviously we had a lot of opportunities in the game. We had four really good goal chances, in my opinion. And we needed one of them to have a little bit of a momentum shift in the game. And, I think the Mayo fans and the Mayo players, if that penalty goes in, I think it gives the team a boost. And we kind of play off that, energy and stuff. And I don't think we ever got a moment in the match the last year where you could have said to yourself, where we had that really momentum shift and we were in the game. But as I said, bar our start, we were probably behind for most. So I suppose that's the most disappointing thing, the opportunities that we had. It's not that we didn't have them, but we took none of them. Where, Tyrone had, three opportunities on goal. They took two. Obviously, Darren McCurry's one was saved by Robert Hinnerly. But the disappointing thing for us is that we had the opportunities to really put Tyrone on the back foot, but we never took them.
I totally understand the point you're making, and there was never a point really where you heard the full noise of the Mayo crowd after that second point was scored, because, you know, Tyrone got a lead, Mayo got back, I think did draw a level at one point, but that was it. They were never in front again. It's not really much of a strategy to base success in an All-Ireland final on momentum, though, is it? Like, you actually need a better plan than something's going to fall our way and that'll get the team going. So what's lacking in the game plan or in this group at the moment that prevents them from saying, this is what we're going to do, this is our identity, and we're going to win the game on that basis, as opposed to something will break our way that drags us along?
Yeah, well, in my opinion, and this is just from me watching the game, you know, I sat with Colm Cooper watching it on Saturday evening, and just even from speaking to him, I suppose at times, you know, you look at the game and I just thought a lot of the time we were so devoid of any game plan in our forward half, in the forward third of the pitch. I just didn't feel that we have a structure that we know that we're playing to in the forward line. You know, at times we had Tommy Conroy, you know, chasing back, you know, on the Mayo 21. We had Kevin McLaughlin at times in on the full forward line. To me, Kevin McLaughlin's our playmaker. We need him to get on the ball as much as we can. Tommy Conroy has the speed and is probably one of maybe two or three forwards that can potentially get goals for us, that can score. And I just thought there was no structure in our forward line. We lacked a huge amount of leadership up there. You know, people spoke about Killian all year and will we miss him? And, you know, the biggest worry is that we would at some stage. And I think we missed him hugely at the weekend. I don't think it would have been the changing or winning of the All-Ireland. I'm not saying that, but I just think from a leadership point of view and from a system point of view, we missed him massively. And I just think that the composure, the lack of composure inside the final third was really, really poor. You know, and again, you look back to the goal chances, and they're probably the easiest ones to remember. You know, Aidan's first goal chance, his lack of composure, he's not a natural forward. They probably could have taken the ball around the goalkeeper and had a shot, or even looked across the square, and Conor Loftus was there. You know, you look at Conor McKenna's pass across to Darren McCurry for the goal. That's the little inches, the little bit of composure that you need. You know, Tommy Conroy's goal chance where he's bearing down a goal, and that's the time that, you know, there was an extra play in that. If he took a little solo and instead of trying to blast the ball, you know, just took that extra play and gave himself more time. So, yeah, these are all the little things, but I really think our forward half, while we conceded two goals, it's the game we play, and we play a very attack-minded game. We are going to leave ourselves open at the back. But if you're playing that counter-attack football, you have to be getting, and you have to create opportunities, number one, but more importantly, you have to take the opportunities. And, you know, we had, I think, 10 or 11 wides. You know, Conor Loftus, when the game was in the melting pot, I think it was maybe 1-10 to 10 at that stage. He missed two crucial points. Darren Cohen, come on, missed another one. You know, to try and even get the game back on level terms, we couldn't manage that. And I think, you know, it's not that you like to come back and say it's these old Mayo failings of, you know, trying to get scores on the board. To me, it was just that we don't seem to know what we're doing in our forward system. And I think Aidan O'Shea is obviously a big one for that. And obviously he's taken a lot of criticism. It's not just on him, but at times when Aidan's in there, we're not kicking the ball in long. And when Aidan comes out, he's the one kicking the ball in long, but there's no one in there. So I just think there's no major system of play in there. And I think, you know, for Mayo going forward, that's something certainly that needs to work on.
So what is the automatic fix, or what would be the first thing you'd be looking at to change that, Cora? Is it just establishing Aidan O'Shea as the focal point of your attack with more of a focus on Route 1? Or what would you be coaching if you were in charge over the next few months?
Yeah, well, I suppose the biggest thing I'd be coaching, if you're in charge over the next few months, we actually need to, again, trying to unearth other talent, more forward talent, if anything, and possibly talent around the middle of the park. I think we actually got, you know, our midfield were very poor the last day, you know, and obviously Matthew Ruan was taken out of the game, you know, on a brilliant man-marking job by Kilpatrick. But, you know, Dermot O'Connor and Conor Loftus are natural club midfielders. You know, they're both, you know, wing forwards. You know, Conor Loftus is, you know, could be a centre forward, but we've kind of made do to bring them out there. So I think we need to unearth talent. But going forward, I think, yeah, we need to come up with a system of play. If Aidan O'Shea is going to be in your plans, you need to, decide where he's going to play. We can't have this debate, you know, for the last few seasons. Is he a midfielder? Is he a number 11? Is he a number 14? You know, I think his days as a midfielder now probably, you know, finished because of his mobility. And obviously he's getting on in age. But if he's going to be your focal point in the forward line, you know, then you need to work on it. You need to spin the National League, leaving him there for the whole of the National League, whether it has a big effect on ramifications, on results, you have to go with it. But you need, James needs to come up and decide how is a forward line are we going to play? Is there, you know, we look at our bench from the last, you know, didn't really give us anything comparing to their own bench. Is there players there that can unearth on that bench that can maybe they can convert into some sort of a playmaker, into a forward or whatever it is? But if the likes of Kevin McLaughlin and Aidan O'Shea are then we're going to stay, you know, you're going to have to decide, is one of them going to be your playmaker at centre forward? Is one of them going to be your key man with the likes of Tommy Conroy, Ryan O'Donnell? Killian's going to be back in there, so he's going to change it a little bit, but I think he just needs to decide what way we want to play as a forward group, and from there, you know, to hone it right through the National League, keep, you know, because we cannot have, yeah, it was more difficult this year, we had a couple of National League games because it was cut short because obviously the COVID situation, but he really needs to hone in on that, because of the type of game we play such counter-attack football that, you know, we're going to get the opportunities. When we get the opportunities, we're going to have to make them count. It's probably, again, you know, going to need to unearth the Tommy Conroy or two. We need that crafty forward that, you know, knows when to shoot or, you know, when not to. So I think it's going to be a hard winter for these Mayo boys. But again, I'm sure they'll come back and, you know, January and February, you know, and March will be when they're going to have to work on these things and be ready for championship.
Lee Keegan's performance was one of the all-time great performances in defeat that I can remember, that when the goal goes in, he is the man who's like, no, we're not dying today. If we are going to die, we're dying with our boots on. And this is at a period in his career where we thought those types of swashbuckling performances were gone because of the hip injuries. Like, he has to come back for another season. Whatever Mayo need to do to tempt him back, to explain, look, we're going to do this for you at some point, they really do need Lee Keegan. Is there any possibility that he's not back, that he is thinking about retirement over the long winter?
No, you know, I suppose only Lee can answer that. You know, you have to look at their round. You know, Lee has a young baby, and he's been around a long time. And, you know, any Mayo supporter would hope that he wouldn't retire. You know, I'd be hugely surprised he would, but I suppose what people have to remember when you've had that many defeats and you're trying to come back year after year, it's very difficult. And, you know, trying to, you know, I know myself when I was playing, trying to get up every January or February to come back, you know, it's fine when you're playing summer football, but it's a difficult slog. I've no doubt that he'll be back. But I do think his performance the last day was, you know, For a guy that's, you know, coming up on 33, he's probably, along with Kieran McDonald, Mayo's greatest ever footballer. You know, and that's, he gives us performance year after year, All-Ireland final after All-Ireland final. He's been immense. So, yeah, I do think we need to keep the likes of Lee and Kevin McLaughlin. I think, you know, because the team you look after that are quite young, you know, Barry Aidan, you go back, you know, it goes down to Killian and even younger. So they do need to keep the leaders. They've lost a lot, obviously, in the last kind of 12 months with the retirement of six or seven guys. So they can't afford to lose any more leaders, because I think then it could be that, you know, we're going to be more in a rebuilding phase. So we need to hold on to our older guys. And, you know, there isn't that many. I think Aidan, Kevin McLaughlin, and Lee are possibly our three that are over the age of 30.
Yeah, this is a completely ridiculous question, but is there any possibility that there's a forward for a future for Lee Keegan in the forwards, that he is somebody who can kick long range points? And if you name him in the half forward line, half forwards spend so much time defending anyway, but every time he gets the ball, he's actually going to be coming from deep. Like, is it ridiculous?
No, I don't think Anthony is ridiculous. I think you try all these things. You know, if you looked the last time, I've said it many a time in the match, when Mayo were attacking at speed, whether it was usually was Durkin or it was Keegan and Aaron Finnis to Stephen Cohn, I thought he had an excellent game. When they were attacking, a lot of the times they were looking to give that ball to a forward. They give it to a forward, but a forward was looking to give it to them, back to them. We were looking as our half back line to be our main scoring threat. And that's where I think, you know, you need to take a little bit more responsibility as a forward to take on that ball. I think really only probably Tommy Conroy once or twice in the game, and Ryan O'Donoghue, in fairness to him, tried to, you know, he created a lot of the goal opportunities they had, the first one for Brian Walsh, and that Conor Loftus obviously missed when he kicked it along the ground. I think, yeah, there's probably something that needs to change, and whether that's Lee Keegan in a more advanced role or a Patrick Durkin. But if you look over the years, I think I read a stat, maybe was it yesterday or the day before, in the number of All-Ireland finals that Lee Keegan has played, I think he's scored 2-5 in them finals, which is remarkable from a wing back. So, yeah, I do think someone like Conor Loftus is more of a natural forward. Do you play him there? Do we try and, you know, maybe try a Jordan Flynn at midfield? Yeah, no, I do think there's something has to change. You cannot do the same thing all the time. And I think with the likes of Oisín Mullen back there now, Owen McLaughlin to come back, that can give Lee Keegan the licence to move further forward for sure.
Cora, great stuff. I'm sorry for your trouble.
We'll rise again and we'll fight for another day. I've no doubt these guys will be back again. You know, they've been massive servants to Mayo. And yeah, while it's disappointment walking out of Croke Park, you know, if you really were to look at the start of the year, after all the retirements and then after Killian O'Connor went down injured against Clare, you know, people didn't ever think Mayo would win a Connacht title, never mind get to an All-Ireland final and beat the all-conquering Dubs on the way. So, you know, while it's disappointing, massively disappointing to lose the final, they've probably overachieved in some regard.
OK, good stuff, Cora. Thanks for joining
Thanks
us this morning.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.